Welcome to the Michael Yu Podcast. We have a very special guest today, Keith Strang from Oakland Realty Encore. Keith, welcome to the pod.
Thanks very much. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So why don't you just share a little bit about your story, about how you got into real estate?
How I got into real estate. Okay. You know what? I'll start back when I was a kid. This will be quick, but real estate is something I always wanted to do. When I was growing up, I had a couple of friends whose parents were in real estate, and I watched what they did and found it just something that was very interesting to me. But I never did it. I went to university, decided that real estate was, I shouldn't say this, but I decided it was it wasn't good enough. I couldn't do it. So I thought I would be a disappointment to my parents if I went into real estate, which I wouldn't say that today, obviously, but that's what I thought. So I went in, I took my bachelor's of commerce and marketing. I worked for Coast Hotels for about 4 years, various other things, and then got transferred out to Vancouver. And finally, when I was here working at Coast, decided I wasn't happy, and decided I'm going to do what I wanted to do, always wanted to do. But the funny part is, I didn't tell anybody, including my father. So he actually called looking for me at Coast Hotels,
right,
and found out that way that I was no longer working there.
Oh, okay.
And called me and said, "What's going on?" I'm like, "Well, this is what I'm doing. I've gotten into real estate, but I never wanted to tell anybody because I myself thought it wasn't." I don't know why I thought that. I just thought it wasn't good enough, or it wasn't what I should be doing.
Right.
But he was super excited, and you know, it kind of went. It went from there. That's 16 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've gone through different stages. I started working with a partner right away. I wanted someone to mentor me. So when I went to my first office, that was the first thing. First thing that I wanted was I need to work with somebody. So they put me with somebody. And I'm still working with that person today.
Wow,
so
really?
We've been partners for 16 years.
16 years in the business together. Wow, and that's with Michael, right?
It's with Michael, yeah. So Michael Kermode.
Wow, that's...
Yeah,
that's fantastic. So Keith, you didn't grow up in Vancouver. You didn't grow up here.
I did not.
No.
I grew up just outside of Edmonton.
Okay.
It's called Sherwood Park. So basically Edmonton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at what age and what inspired you? So it was like your childhood friend?
It was. So my best friend probably from, say grade 3 to, well, I can't remember how long I was there now, but for a number of years. So his mom actually, it's funny, she was actually an Elon salesperson.
Okay.
that didn't inspire me, but and she decided to get into real estate, and she had always said she wanted to own a RE/MAX office. That was her goal.
Yeah.
And she didn't actually do that, I don't think. But she went on, she got into real estate, and she became one of the top people in Sherwood Park where I lived. And they did really well, and then his father got into real estate as well.
Yeah.
And there was also another neighbor of mine. They didn't know. But the funny part is, well, it sounds bad. I watched them. They were both in real estate, but they drove nice cars, had a nice house.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So as a kid, I'm like, oh, that,
right.
That's something I want to do. So that's really two different things. But
it's really interesting because a lot of people have that, that thought about real estate or being an agent, that it's I don't know, like it's like beneath you or something like that in a sense. Like I remember going to university and talking to one of my professors, and I said, "Oh, I'm going into real estate as an agent." And he's like, "What a waste."
Yeah.
But your parents weren't that very supportive of that. But
they were. It's just funny as I didn't think they would be. So
okay.
I didn't tell them.
Okay.
So I have a history of doing that. So I do what I want to do and I don't always tell people.
Okay.
because I think they're not going to approve. I'm a little bit better now. But yeah, that's pretty much what it was. But yeah, I thought real estate, because you don't need a university education. You don't need a lot of things.
Yeah.
That's not to say it's easy. It's not. But because of all that, I just thought, I need to get an education. I need to do something with my degree.
Right.
So I just thought that it couldn't be that.
Yeah, I think early on in, you know, in our formative years when we're becoming an adult, like, you know, we try to, instead of doing what exactly you want to do, you think you should do like what you should do. Like, you know, you're going to university for business. So you should go into a big corporation and kind of get into the, the cogs of the machine. But you know, even though internally you want to do something else, you just kind of do what you you should do. And I feel like I have a lot of friends that kind of entered into that.
I think maybe less nowadays. I think young people are not so much like that. I think it's almost the opposite.
Yeah.
They just do whatever they want. I think. I'll find out. I have kids, so yeah. I'm not sure what they're going to do. But I think back then, you're right.
Right.
People did what they thought they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, obviously to get to, so to get into real estate, you were in the hospitality field.
I was.
For a while. Do you think that helped you in the start of your business?
You know what? I'm not sure, actually, to be honest with you. Well, it probably helped me only in that I didn't want to keep doing it.
Okay.
So I was in marketing. So I worked in the head office. I wasn't in the, I didn't work in.
In the hotels.
In the hotels. Right. I worked with hotels, like with the owners or franchisees and that kind of stuff. So it was a different, role.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't mind it. I just didn't like working for somebody.
Yeah.
So that's, I just couldn't keep doing it. It was no. I shouldn't say there's no incentive. See, I worked hard. I worked lots of hours. I never worked 8 hours. I worked more and more and more. But,
right.
But I realized I was doing it for somebody else.
Yeah.
It didn't really make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I got tired of that. And I was considering staying. I went and talked to the management at Coast Hotel and said, what else can I do? Excuse me.
No problem.
What else can I do? And I considered accounting. So the funny thing is the opposite of what I'm doing now. My father was an accountant.
Okay.
And I didn't go into accounting strictly because he was an accountant.
Right.
So, but I actually enjoyed it. Did well in school in accounting. That didn't work. So I almost did that. I almost went and got a CGA with Coast Hotels.
Wow.
But then I can't remember what it did. Part of it was, a lot of people say the same thing, but the realtor, I bought a place here.
Right.
So when the guy that I used helped me buy the place, I thought, if he's a realtor,
right,
then I can be a realtor, because he was a normal guy driving a pickup truck wearing a lumberjack shirt, basically. Like, he was just a nice normal guy. So that's kind of what turned my thinking. I thought, well, you know what? Why can't I just do that?
Right.
Why do I want to go and do more studying? Get into accounting, get into something that's that involved. So
It's interesting. Like, you, a lot of people I find that I meet are, like, either do exactly the same thing as their parents or like do the exact opposite. And like, I think, you know, being in sales or being in like an entrepreneur is very opposite of accounting and like the safety and the security of that role, right?
It is.
Yeah.
I did not want to do it.
Yeah.
What he did. Although he did very well. So I did, but I just, no.
For sure. So obviously you got started as an independent realtor.
Yes.
And how was your first few years? Like, how was the, what was the trajectory?
So, you know what? The first 2 years were, it was very good. It's hard to remember far back that far, but I had goals that I set and I exceeded the goals.
Oh, wow.
Right away. And that's not, it's not because of me. I'll say my partner was great. So when I started, Michael mentored me, and that would have been maybe for 6 months, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked me to be his buyer's agent.
Right.
So, which was great for me, because again, honestly, my strength is not prospecting.
Mm-hmm.
So my strength is working with people.
Right.
So I did that. He had a fairly good business. So I just worked with his buyers.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, it's too far back again, I can't remember the number of deals, but I wanted to do 12 deals, right? Everybody
right.
wants to do one deal a month when they start to survive. And I think by the second year, I doubled that.
Wow.
So, and beyond that, I can't remember. It just kept it kept getting better. And I think, again, I can't remember years, but after a couple of years, we became partners.
Mm-hmm.
So I was buyer's agent, then he asked me to be his partner.
Right.
And then it kept going.
Kept going from there. And you're still partners for till
today. We're still partners.
Yeah, wow. So that's a great journey. So
yeah.
And so that's the Sky Team, right?
It is the Sky Team.
The Sky Team in Burnaby and in the Tri-City areas.
Yes.
Yeah, and so maybe the team as a whole, like what's, because it went through a few different iterations, right?
It did.
Yeah.
So, you know what, we started, well, so maybe a number of years ago, it was just the two of us. And we developed a website called burnabycondo.com to generate leads. And that was before all the websites that are now out there.
Right, so you're one of the first.
Yeah. And we did very well. So I remember we got up to a point, I think we did about 120 deals or something like that.
Wow.
1 year by ourselves with just the two of us. And then we realized we couldn't do that.
Right.
We didn't want to do that. It was too much work. Then we were losing business just because we were letting leads go because we couldn't handle it.
Right.
So we brought on buyer's agents. Didn't really have a team. It was just buyer's agents. And then probably about, I can't think again, probably maybe about 10 years ago, well, 8 to 10 years ago, we decided to start a team.
Right.
So we got it up to a point of about 10 people.
Yeah.
And it was great. But it really was based, two things, based on leads. So right. Our website generated leads. Every new realtor wants leads because they need to get their business from somewhere.
Yeah.
So that was the basis of it.
Right.
But the other thing that we did in our team is everything was in the agent's own names.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really in our names. So the
right.
clients that we got, or they got, they kept. We just helped build their businesses, did their marketing, did everything kind of for them and let them just go out and sell. So it was good for us. It was also good for them.
Right. Mutually beneficial.
Yeah, I think any team's got to be like that.
Yeah, it's got to be a win-win.
It has to be win-win.
Right.
But then, you know, things have changed too in market. Well, not necessarily the market, but what we were doing
right.
with lead generation is changed. So we don't generate the number of leads that way that we used to.
Right.
So over the last couple of years, we scaled back our team. And actually, to be honest, at the moment, it's just Michael and myself.
Yeah.
So we're back to two people.
Right. Full circle. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? That's,
yeah.
You know, I think going through some different evolutions of a team is really, and especially it's very impressive to be able to do 120 transactions in two people on a team. And that is very, very, it's a very, very big accomplishment. But you and you also started a brokerage, right?
Yes.
So let me share a little bit about that.
And so that actually, and that also comes, I was going to lead into that with the team because people on the team, you know, they eventually grew their own businesses and left and went on their own. But I actually ended up starting, so I started a brokerage with Michael, my partner, Michael
right.
Kermodo. But soon after that, we did start another office in
mm-hmm.
Coquitlam with
mm-hmm.
Craig Dixon, so who I'm still working with, of course.
Right.
And he was one of our best team members. And when he branched off, also with Carlo, was another team member.
Yeah.
He branched off and we started offices with both of them.
Right.
But basically, when we started Core, it was all 10 people that we had on our team. We were all at Remax.
Right.
And you know, we decided we wanted to go on our own. It was just going to be more efficient, we thought. More
right.
cost effective, and we didn't have to play by the Remax rules. Basically, but we took, so all 10 of us that were on the team came and we started Core Realty
right.
with 10 realtors. And then, like I say, it kind of morphed into different things with Craig and with Carlo. And then as well, of course, now
right.
Oakland Realty Encore.
Yeah.
So
just to give you a bit of context, so Keith and Craig, so Keith Strang, who's with us today, and Craig Dixon are, you know, our first franchises at Oakland. So, you know, our company, our brokerage company that sells residential real estate, you know, we're wanting to branch off into different areas of the city. And we are, and, you know, we found some really fantastic partners to do that with Keith and Craig. We really got to know them really well. We really trust them with our brand and our in that area. So they're heading our Coquitlam office. So they had an independent brokerage called Core Realty for about five years.
Yep.
And you know, strength in numbers. We all got together, put our heads together, and decided that the best thing for Oakland and the best thing for Craig and Keith and the group there at Core was to have them head our Coquitlam operation. So that's you know, it's super exciting for us. It's our very, very first franchise for our company, and we're so happy to be able to work with Keith for sure, and sometimes with Craig.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'll have Craig on the pod too. Like,
yeah.
You know, we just get along so well. So it's just been a really great thing. So obviously you had it independent for a while, and
yes.
Then so where was the so how was that experience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, it was a great experience. I mean, to be honest, again, when we started, we didn't know 100% what we were doing. Like, I think a lot of people and a lot of things.
Right.
We knew we didn't want to be at Remax anymore, and that's not about Remax.
Right.
We just didn't want to be part of a big brokerage, I guess, when we were doing our own thing. So we just decided it was time to do our own thing and try and see what we could accomplish.
Right.
So it was fun. We got ourselves up to, between our offices, about 100 agents. But we did it all with, again, not really knowing what we were doing, I guess. The one thing that we had, and we always had and still have, I think, is we just provided good service to our agents. So our business model was good for them. It wasn't always good for us. But but the core of it was the people. And that's why we had good strength. I mean, 100 agents, I think we were pretty proud of that, considering we were just a couple of people that really didn't know what we were doing. Other than how to sell real estate, to be honest with you. Like, we're just realtors, right?
But right.
We knew what we wanted as realtors, and we thought if we could give that to other agents, then we could grow something strong. And I think we did. But what we also did, and I'll be completely honest, and we've told you this, we watched Oakland, because Oakland really started not that different a time than we did. So we watched what you guys did, and we wanted to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So it was sort of a natural thing to come work with Oakland. So you did the things that we wanted to do, and I think it fits perfectly with the values that we have. They're the same values, the same core, but you put the system together and done a great job. So it's a perfect marriage for us, I think. It lets us run our business now. It lets us do what we wanted to do.
Right.
So it lets us continue on with what our purpose was. Mm-hmm. But the vehicle's better.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So what's the most rewarding part of owning a brokerage, Keith?
Well, you know what? It's like everything that I do, it's the same thing. The most rewarding part is just the people and seeing people do well and be happy.
Yeah.
So in the end, we're all working, right? So that doesn't really... That's not necessarily rewarding in and of itself. It's rewarding to see people achieve and do well in their business. But to be honest, for me, it's just for them to be happy. It's a family. So to me, the brokerage is a family. It's the same as my team. It was a family. And when we started the brokerage, it was just an extension of the team. So I think for me, that is the most rewarding part, is just to see people flourish.
Right.
And you know, when we decided to change too, in talking to everybody and letting them know what we were doing, people were very happy, but there was also, you know, people were, they wanted to make sure we weren't going to change. So that's rewarding too, to know that we actually had an impact on people, because that was probably the biggest concern that people had about us switching over.
Right.
Everyone was excited about Oakland, but they were worried that maybe we would be different.
Right.
And so to me, that's rewarding. That's a compliment, and and we're not different, so so it's exciting.
You know, that's what I've, you know, when we when we talk to people and we look, you know, when we look for potential partners, I think, like Keith mentioned, like, nail on the head. You got to share the same core value system. You got to see the same way you what you value and when your principles are. And something that I noticed about Keith and Craig, and in talking, and we interviewed, you know, dozens of their realtors, and just to get to know them, was that one, they always put people first. They always put their people first. So I commonly heard stories of, you know, Keith's, you know, at a soccer game with his kids, but he'll walk away and he'll take a call from an agent and help them through an issue. That you know, he's just so genuine and open, and Craig was just so you know, so much wanting to help, you know, just genuinely wanting to help, and they did, you know, they created that put people first system in place. And something that's great about Keith is, and you probably noticed by us being on the pod for 20 minutes, he's like, there's no it's just that he is what he is. There's like no deception. He's going to say the truth all the time. He's always going to be very high integrity. And like, everyone really just respects that. So, you know, from our perspective, it was just like a perfect fit to be able to work with Keith and his people and his staff too. Like, he was able, like, they've had the same conveyancing and reception staff for a long time.
Yes.
And those staff, like, really love the ownership, and that's like, to for us, that's just like a huge sign and a huge symbol of, like, what, you know, we strive for in our company as well, that kind of full transparency, because the industry hasn't always been like, is not a full transparency kind of industry for the most part, and what we want is to find the people that have the same So did you have any experiences in the past, Keith, where there wasn't that full transparency?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like I've been with, well, I was with two other brokerages before our own brokerage. I would say in both of them, that's what I found. And I mean, I don't want to say that's, well, it isn't good, I don't think, but that's just normal, I think, with a lot of big companies, big brokerages. And that again, that's the reason why we started Core, and that's the reason why we're so happy to be with Oakland. Because to be honest, we weren't looking at franchising or buying a franchise. Right. We weren't looking at becoming a different name. So we didn't look at any other franchise model because we're not interested in being with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, I would say, I mean, the past office I was with, the biggest thing you need is support, and there was no support in that office from the management and from the managing broker, and that was the biggest issue. So when we went there, when we joined them, we were told everything was great, of course, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and in the end, that's not the case. I think most of these brokerages now are just numbers. They're just numbers driven. Of course, we're all numbers driven. You have to make money.
Right.
But they're just basically people in the door, people out the door. It doesn't matter.
Right.
They just try to get as many people in there and cycle through them. And I noticed that too. The people that were being brought in after we came in, I thought were of interesting quality. Let's put it that way. And I'm like, what is this? Like, I thought, what?
Yeah.
I thought we were joining a brokerage that had a certain level of what's the word?
Standards.
Yeah, standards. Yeah. Sorry, can't think. And it didn't. And I thought, well, what's really the point? Like, you want to be, we can go anywhere in this business. There's lots of brokerages, but you want to be with people that are similar, and you want to be with people with integrity,
mm-hmm.
and good reputation, etc. And that doesn't seem to really be the norm out there.
Yeah.
So that's all I can say. I mean, I've had different experiences. Not all bad. I've had good experiences. The first office I was with, it was great, but it was the managing broker that was great.
Right.
The office itself, the owner of the office, I won't say the office that way, I won't get in trouble, but I felt that the owner had very little integrity, actually, which always bothered me. The only reason I stayed there is because the managing broker was great, so that's why I went there in the first place, but I didn't like the ownership and the way they ran their business, so.
And I think it's important that, you know, everyone shares the same, you know, kind of the same culture, the same kind of heartbeat with an office. So you get that consistency. And I found that with your office in Coquitlam, Keith, that like the staff, you guys, the agents are all just kind of on the same page, taking great care of your clients and things like that. In speaking about that, Keith and I have had a lot of philosophical conversations about brokerages and what they mean. And I've just kind of got on this neck. I don't know, maybe it's from my reading or something like that. I found that a lot of the, you know, maybe let's not like isolate any brokerages, but maybe the past brokerage model was what we call like a transactional business. So I do for you, you do for me. And, you know, it's really like, you know, like Keith was saying, like recruiting, very heavy recruiting kind of office. And we're trying to make something, and we're trying to build what we call like a transformational business. So, you know, when working with Keith or working with myself or working with our teams, we want to create transformation in the people that we sit across from, whether that's professionally, with giving them great professional development, education, shifting ideas, or whether that's like leading by example. Wow, like, you know, Keith had an opportunity to make $50,000 on a transaction, but his moral value would not let him do that. And so that's another really, you know, what we want to create is this transformation in others. So that's something that, you know, I just recently had my kind of mindset framed on. I'm like, how can I help to transform this individual in any small way? It doesn't have to be like caterpillar or butterfly.
No.
But it could be something like something small that that can transform them in a real positive way. And I think when we create a transformational company versus a transactional company, that's when we're going to see like an even higher skyrocket.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, getting the great feedback. So Keith and I have been just a couple weeks ago, we were basically locked in a room together for about five straight days.
Yep.
And so we were doing our franchise training, and You know, it's so funny. Like, Keith, being an owner of a brokerage, would you say that you probably learn more from your agents than they do from you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. That's the thing. I would say, I don't want to say 90%, but at least half or more than half, probably 75% of the questions that come to me, I don't know the answer to the questions. But I find the answer.
Right.
I mean, I roughly know, but honestly, most of the time that a question comes, I have to make sure I have to look into it. But that's great. I learned so much from them because they're out there doing, they're doing deals every day.
Right.
They're doing so many different things. So I learned so much from them. That's one of the things I like. I actually enjoy trying to figure things out or trying to solve problems or just get the answers. And again, I'm learning so much by doing it.
Yeah.
So, and just seeing how they do things, how they run their businesses, because so many of them do so well.
Yeah.
So I see what they're doing and what I'm not doing, and I'll use some of those things for sure to help my own business.
Right.
So there's so much strength in numbers. You can't do anything you want. You can't do anything, but you can't do things alone.
Yeah, you need to
do things by yourself, but you can't do them without other people. You can't do them well, I don't think.
Yeah.
I can't. So it's got to be a group of people,
and yeah,
all
for sure,
off each other and learn off each other and help each other, and everybody, it sounds cheesy, but everybody does well when everybody helps each other. And that's what I want our brokerage to be, and that's why Oakland, I think, for us, because we feel that's what Oakland is, and that's what we were with Core. And I don't know if there's anywhere else like that, and of course I'm going to say there isn't, but I don't know that, of course. Right. But really, I don't know that there is a lot of other brokerages that think like that.
Yeah, and so, you know, we really want to change the landscape of the industry for realtors, and like increase the standards for brokerages. And that's why, you know, doing things like this pod where Keith and I are able to just talk about, you know, what our goals are for our companies, for the brokerages that we're, and the agents that we're working with, is that's a big part of it, just to transparently, you know, be open about what we want to strive to do, is to shift from that transactional relationship to this transformational relationship. And we, you know, and I know Keith is the same as me, we want our agents to do the same thing for their clients.
Yes, that's how they'll succeed. And that's the one thing I've always been telling agents, is that it's like anything, you can't, if you're focusing on transactions, so you're focusing on making money basically right now, if you do that, you're going to have one-time transactions, one-time deals with people.
Yep.
You're not going to get repeat business.
Not going to get loyalty.
No loyalty.
Right.
And you're going to be just working hard forever,
right,
trying to get new business. There's only so much new business.
Yeah.
And that's not a business. It just doesn't make any sense. And if you focus on helping people and not making money, you'll make money. So of course we all want to make money.
Right.
We have to make money to survive.
Right.
But if your focus is making money, I think for the most part that doesn't work in any business really. If that's your main focus, you got to figure out what you should be doing.
Right.
To help people, or to, you know, just, you know, what you should be doing, and the end result, well, if you do it well, then you'll make money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like that, I believe in the same thing. It's like, it's kind of strange, you know. I'm a numbers oriented person, so I really like to dig into numbers, statistics, and those types of things. And you know, but at the base of it, at the core of it, at the, you know, the nucleus of it, is just to, you know, is genuinely to try to help people to improve.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it's weird kind of, I'm on this, and I said it in my last pod, I'm on this like evolution train.
Yeah.
Recently, like, how do we help people to evolve around us?
Yeah.
Empower them around us, and in doing so, like, what's the best methods to do that? Being transparent, being vulnerable, being like, hey, this is who I am, this is how I can help you. And if you, you know, you don't want to overpromise and oversell someone, then you can't deliver upon, right? So I think that's a big, you know, that's a big kind of thought pattern that I'm on. And I know Keith is the same. We share.
Well, I agree. And I've done the opposite before too. So I've learned, I've overpromised lots of times in the past with different things. And I've learned that doesn't work, of course.
Yeah,
you just set yourself up for failure. to yourself and those people you're promising that to.
Right.
Because in the end, they're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
And then even if you're doing a good job, same with clients, it's the same thing. You have to make sure that you're being honest with people and delivering what you say or more than you say.
Yeah.
Always.
Or, you know, and that's what, you know, that's what haunts people, right? You know, like, you know, like at night, you want to be able to sleep soundly and not have a, like, you know, Jiminy Cricket, your conscious is like, bleh.
Yeah.
And you're like,
no, it's true.
So I never understood there's some like real estate maxims that are out there, you know, you hear that and they just drive me crazy. Like, I can sell your home for the most money in the least amount of time. I'm like, what? Yeah. I'm like, are you, what, how can you promise that? Like, that doesn't, you know.
No, and everybody, well, not everybody, but that's a common thing that people say because there's not, they can't think of anything else to say other than that.
But how do you, like, how do you justify it? How can you prove it? What's the truth? You know, you're basically, whenever I see that on an advertisement and they call into the agent, they call into the office, like, oh, we'd like thinking about joining Oakland. I see that as their motto.
Yeah.
Like, we sell everything fastest for the most money in the least amount of time. I'm always like, this guy, I, you know, it's not, that's not, that's not realistic.
It's actually not possible. It's not possible. If you can do that, then everybody should use you.
I would I'm just sending my clients to you and say, hey, you're better off with, you know, with John Smith. They can sell everything for more money and less time than me. So just go with him. Like,
but that's all, you see that all the time. And you see, I know in Alberta, it used to be big that people would, if they couldn't sell your house in 60 days or 90 days, they'd buy it.
Right.
And there's a big team out there that still uses that. But again...
Yeah, the fine print in those is...
They'll buy it, but they'll buy it for a very low price.
Like, the fine print in those is exploitation of sellers. So, like, that's just my opinion, because you're exploiting people that... Because Keith and I have both been in situations... We've had a couple fun nights. being in situations where a seller comes to you genuinely with a problem.
Yeah.
And you have a chance to be, to serve their best interest, or you have a chance to serve your own best interest.
Yes.
Hey, we, you know, when you've done the number of transactions that, and the number of sales and the number of homes sold that that Keith has done, we fall into that sometimes.
Of course. Yeah.
And you just have to make sure that you do the right thing, and you want to make sure the person across you is going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
No, you're right. There's one way, many years ago, I remember a situation which I've never forgotten, and it guides me now, is there was a client of mine buying a house. House had asbestos in it. So they did the inspection, they found asbestos. It had all been renovated. Everything was, it was okay, but they, of course, weren't okay with the asbestos. So seller agreed to have it removed professionally and all that kind of stuff. And we went through that process, but at the end of it, they weren't comfortable. So it was subject removal day and they just weren't comfortable. And we went back to the house and we spent hours there going through. They had somebody in there opening up plugs and looking at everything. And in the end, the seller kicked us out. Like, you know what? This is ridiculous. You have to get out. So we both sized about 11 o'clock at night and they removed subjects. They had already paid their deposit because it was a multiple offer. So they removed subjects. And I encouraged them to remove subjects because I thought it was a good house. It was their first house, but they weren't comfortable. And I knew they weren't comfortable, but I still let them remove subjects. Mm-hmm. And I went home, and about 5 o'clock in the morning, my phone starts ringing, and it was them. And she's like, I can't go through with it. We can't buy the house. I can't live with the fact that there was asbestos in the house. I'm like, well, okay, but we have a problem. We've removed subjects already, and the deposit's already paid. So in the end, we couldn't get out of it. The seller would not release them, and they walked away, and they lost their deposit, and that was the money that they had saved to buy a house. And I pleaded with them to not do that, and I said, I'll turn around, we'll sell the house. I won't charge you anything to sell the house. You don't need to lose your money, because the market was also increasing. So I'm like, it's not necessary. You don't need to do this. But anyway, they just couldn't live with it. But my point is, I learned to never push anybody again, because I pushed them. I didn't think it was the wrong choice for them. So I wasn't necessarily doing it for myself, but I'm sure part of it I was. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was the right choice, but I knew they weren't comfortable. And I still pushed them to do it. Mm. And I've never forgotten that, and I feel bad about that. every time it comes up, but every time I'm in a situation with a client now where there's any kind of pushback or discomfort, I do the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know what? Even if I think they're doing the wrong thing, I'll say, well, you know, I think that's a mistake, but at the same time, if you're not comfortable, you shouldn't do it, because I don't want, no matter what, if you're tomorrow not comfortable with what you did, it's bad. It's bad for you, it's bad for me, it's bad for everybody.
Right.
So you have to make your, you have to do what you think is right. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
You know what? That's like, I'm so glad that you shared that story, because, you know, realtors have this thing where I gotta be perfect. Like, yeah. I gotta look perfect, I gotta sound perfect, I gotta be perfect. But we're not perfect. We're all humans.
Oh, yeah.
And we all make errors and mistakes. And how we, I think it's how we respond and how we react and how we live after these things happen that, just like in your situation, Keith, is like, it defines you.
Yep.
Right? Because you've, after that has happened, you've been in the same spot a few other times, haven't you? And how did you do, how did you respond to that?
Opposite now. Yeah. And I use this with agents too, so I am transparent. It's odd. I'm happy to tell people everything that I've done that doesn't work or hasn't worked or that was wrong, because they can learn from that.
Yeah.
So, and it also makes them understand that we're all human. So no one is perfect.
Right.
So anytime something's happening or an agent does something, I'm like, you know what? I've done the same thing. I did that. I did this. But you know, but we. This is why.
This is why.
We can't do that. But,
yeah.
I mean, but we've all done it. It's fine that you're thinking that, or it's fine that you're going down that road. But
right.
Let's stop.
Yeah.
Stop and think about it. Right.
For sure. And yeah.
I mean, most people are good, I think.
Yeah.
Most agents, and the mistakes that people make are, for the most part, not intentional.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason behind them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm talking about nightmare stories and let it keep you up at night. You know, early on in my career, I had one situation. I don't know if I told this on the pod before, but so there was a lady that I was working for, you know, that she had a dog, but she was a really interesting lady. You know, she was very eccentric. She's an eccentric lady that had a dog, and she really, obviously, she loved this dog.
Yeah.
She wanted to live in an area that was close to a shopping center and close to her friends and everything like that. So, basically, I had, I found her a place and look at the bylaws, and the bylaws of the strata say, okay, no pets allowed except under, like, special needs dogs or something like that. Special needs dogs are allowed, but, and she was a very eccentric lady.
Yeah.
So, she's like, oh, Michael, I can get a doctor's note that this is for a spend, because she really wanted to buy this condo.
Sure.
It was the perfect condo for her. It was like right by the mall. She's like, oh my God, I love this condo, Michael. This is the one for sure. And I was like, okay, like we found it. So she got a doctor's note. She got a doctor's note, and I actually went online and I found that there was like this certification for like a service dog certification program that you could get your existing dog to be certified as a service dog. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, okay, let's do that. So got all that stuff together, and then we removed subjects. And I was like, wow, like, you know, and what I found out that, so once, as soon as, you know, we didn't close on the property, but I was like, you know, we removed subjects, and I was like, okay, I submitted all the forms and I submitted all the stuff to the strata because I assumed that they were just going to, you know, it was going to be fine, approved.
Yeah.
Comes back and it wasn't approved. And they, you know, the strata wanted evidence that it was indeed a service dog, like not just a doctor's note, not just a, like an online program that to train your dog to be a service dog. And it drew, like, I was, and the lady was like, if I can't move in here with my dog, I can't buy this place. And I was just terrified.
Oh,
and like, and like, you know, being a new realtor, and you think you're doing your job, you're trying the best for people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you kind of come up with these things. And it was really early. It was one of the first few sales in my career. And I went to my managing broker, I told him the situation. He's like, oh, you're in a lot of hot water, Michael. You better get a lawyer today. I'm like, oh my God, like, this is my first transaction, like the first new transaction. I'm like, so like, basically, I almost quit. Like, actually, that story almost made me quit the business. What I ended up doing was I ended up like, I tried to remarket the property.
Yeah.
So, because she was not going to buy it. So I had about a month to find a buyer. And I think I may have, I spent almost 3 solid weeks, like 8 hours a day or more, like cold calling the buildings, cold calling, hey, do you want to buy a condo in the area? I got something here. This is the price. This is what it is. And yeah. I showed it to so many different people. I called all the realtors that I knew. And the listing agent was just like, just didn't care.
Of course, yeah.
And then, yeah. And basically what ended up happening is I found somebody that wanted to buy the property for the same price. Wow. And it was with another realtor. And, then I was like, okay, can we like split the commission on it? Because I'm a new girl. And
yeah.
They're like, no.
No.
Yeah. I was like, okay, well, so I had to like pass it on. But it was just like one of those situations. So like for me now, just like, you know, and it was so funny because it's like a dumb dog story. But then at the same time, it was so huge and impactful for me in that time. So now I'm like super careful about bylaws. I'm like, you know, if there's anything in that bylaw, it's gonna happen. Like, they're gonna enforce it.
Yeah.
You're gonna pay.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
There's no like wiggling around. And like, you're paying that move-in fee.
Yeah.
You're like, anything that's in there, like now I'm just like savage about it. Okay, yeah. They're proposing something in the strata.
It's gonna happen.
And like, you better save for this, because it's gonna be like $40,000 to $50,000. Even though they said it's $10,000, it's like $50,000. Like, so I'm sure I've lost a lot of sales because of it, but
well, what is better than when they call you up after and go,
hey,
we got an assessment for $40,000
for sure, and it's so better than trying to get a dog service like a dog certification for a client and all that stuff. So like, I never contravene things anymore, but it's how you live afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. That is a big key thing. So Keith, I get to ask, so you know, now that you're, you know, obviously, you know, you're running that Oakland office.
Yes.
And how's that transition been so far?
It's been good so far. A little bit, there's not hiccups, things, some things a little bit longer than we thought and stuff like that. But no, actually, so far it's been really good. I think we started with about 60 agents,
mm-hmm.
Which we're really very happy about.
Right.
Everything's falling into place.
How's the feedback been so far? I haven't even asked. Yeah. So maybe it's, I hope it's
no,
good.
The feedback's been good. Like I said, the only thing for us is there's been some setbacks. So it took us a little bit longer to get
signed,
to get our name and our registered and the sign up and stuff like that. But for the most part, that's not a big deal.
Right.
But those are really the only questions that we get from people. It's like, oh, well, over the last couple of weeks, we keep getting, well, so is our name changed? I'm like, yeah, but soon. But other than that, no, everybody's been really happy. I know, and our, you know, Elaine and Rachel, our staff, are very happy. So everybody's really happy. So, and I know I've actually, the last about 10 days, I haven't been around, so I have to get back. I've been trying to do stuff from away, but I had, my son was in a ball hockey tournament. And then I just took them up to shoe shops to visit their cousins for a couple of days.
Nice.
So I just came back. So I feel like I've kind of been not present. But
well, you know what?
Like,
family,
I'm still working
summer,
every day, but I'm kind of, it's harder when you're
summer and you have family. And, you know, I think family comes first. And people understand that too. You know, I think, I used to think as a business person that, like, I had to be on call 24/7. I couldn't take a day off for my family or like for my girlfriend or whatever it is. But, you know, that's not true. I think it is good to get away.
You have to.
And you can get back, and then you're really present with the with the things that you have to work on. So
exactly. I know I'm excited to get back and get back in the office. So I've been trying to do things from not being there, but it's somewhat stressful, but
well, that's one of some of the good things about having a partner. So
no,
Craig,
really,
you know, obviously having a partnership with Craig. So what's your partnership with Craig?
Oh, it's great. You know what? I'd say it's more like a friendship. It is a partnership, but it's more like a friendship. We're on the same page. We're not on the same page with everything. I shouldn't say that. We're on the same page in general.
Right.
We don't think the same, which is good.
Yeah.
So we've and even through this process, it's been interesting because we've had different things that we don't agree on.
Right.
But we always end up just going with one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, nothing serious, but it is interesting because I'm not even used to that. Like, I'm a person who always likes to have agreement. I don't like conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I wouldn't call it conflict, but there's been little things through the transition where we definitely see it differently.
For sure.
But I'm like, we're both like, okay, well, go ahead and do it that way.
Yeah.
Or the opposite. Okay, we'll go and do it your way. And then, you know, there have been a couple things where we've made decisions and then we thought maybe it was wrong decision, but we just stuck with it.
Yeah,
so it's been good, and I'm it's good for me, good for him, for me to let go. Because sometimes I'm pretty easy, but when I get focused on something, sometimes I can be not reasonable.
Right.
I just want something a certain way, and I'm like, no, like it has to be like this, and no matter what somebody tells me,
right,
I keep arguing that no, it has to be this way. So it's good.
Yeah,
we're a good partnership, and Craig doesn't. He's not one that will just walk away either, so that's right. Good. He'll stand his ground. So I'm like, okay.
Well, that's what you want. That's what you want in a partner. I think, you know.
No, it's great.
In our partnership group, we have like so many different. Well, we have different opinions, and we all come from very different outlooks, and that's how you really find the truth on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Is if you're doing it independent on your own, things might happen a bit faster, but. You know, you might not get to the bottom and find all the evidence and get. So
oh, yeah.
I've had many times where, well, probably most times where like, I'm like, okay, I'm sure this is the way for us
to do something
to do.
Yeah.
And then Arlene or Morgan or one of our staff will say, this is why this is wrong.
Yeah.
And you're wrong. And this is why. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. And so probably like,
yeah,
I change. You know, I get with the correct inputs, but they, you know, it has to be logical. It has to be the truth.
Yeah,
and that's a big part of it too. So, what are the goals for Oakwind Realty Encore?
What are the goals? Well, I mean, our goals would be in the big picture the same as Oakwind's goals. Of course,
right.
We want to win the market,
right,
in Coquitlam. So that's our big goal.
Mm-hmm.
And we've. You know, we sat down with you, did some planning, and then we've been doing that on our own or together,
right,
with actual numbers. But really, I mean, it is just to win the market and be the number one. When I say number one, again, that's, I guess, relative, but
mm-hmm.
we want to be at the top of the market.
Yeah.
We're in the Tri-Cities, really, at some point. So that's where we want to be.
Absolutely.
And we want it to be the place that people want to come. I mean, again, that was what it was with Core too for us. It's been great actually, because you're a numbers guy, going through all that stuff with you. We didn't do that before, so having those tools and now being able to look at the numbers and go, oh, we need this, we need that, we need a certain number of people, that's great. But still, the focus is just, we know that if we do the right thing for our agents, then we'll get there. So our focus is to build, like you said, what word did you use? Now you're calling it transformation.
Yeah.
So
right.
So that's a good word. But yeah, we just want to, it sounds hokey, but we want to kind of build that that family, really, or that type of business.
Right.
And I think there's a huge need for that. So
yeah.
And in the end, our goal is to win the market, but it's by doing all those things. So
yeah.
I know for me, I kind of would just put that up somewhere where I can see it, but that's the day-to-day goal, is just to do the best thing.
Yeah, and help
for
people.
Our agents and for our staff and help people. And then, but I think it is great that you gave us the tools for actually tracking, because I'm not a numbers guy.
Yeah.
So the problem is when you don't track anything, you actually don't know if what you're doing works or not.
Yeah, right? I think that's a big part of, you know, having good people around you, because Keith has some amazing strengths about, you know, how he relates to people, how he genuinely cares, he's vulnerable, he's open, he's honest about everything, and, you know, and I have different strengths as well, and then when you combine us together, that's when you form, like, that's when you have a formidable team, right? Something that, you know, so when you have the math guy in the back, like me.
No, that's great, because you need to know that. Like,
right.
I'm never going to be the one to figure that out. I mean, now we have a tool, so we will, but it's just not my strength. And that's the great thing. Well, Craig is a partner too. He's managed restaurants before. He's done more management than me. So he's got a clear mind on some of that stuff, where I just go off and, again, kind of this is the way it needs to be, because, you know, because this is what I want. And I think this is what everybody wants, but sometimes it doesn't make good logical sense, but I don't see that. I'm just like, no.
Okay, so,
yeah.
Right.
So,
you got to, like, so I wish we, and there's probably going to be a photo up on our, in our social media, but Keith's wearing his favorite lemon shirt. So, the Lemoncello shirt. I need to know the story behind this shirt.
Well, you know what? Actually, the shirt, so there's a good friend of mine, who's a mortgage specialist, but we've been friends for years, good family friends, and we go to Vietnam every couple of years and get suits made. So we'll really go there. He's got a family home there, so we go there for a few days. But we go, and that's our favorite thing to do is eat and shop. So it sounds kind of funny. But, so these shirt, this is from last year in Vietnam. So there's a shop in Vietnam, and there it's a local shop, so it's made there. And that, there's no other story behind it other than
it's funny.
It looks cool.
And I got the lemon socks. Yeah. So he busted those out on, we were together for a whole week and he busted out the lemon shirt. And it's so funny. So, you know, I think it's really, it's a cool statement, but at the same time, I went to visit his office and Rachel on his staff had a lemon dress made.
She had it done after this.
So, like, the whole office wants the lemon garb.
I'm so crazy.
Yeah,
we have to get it for
today. The whole lemon. Theme. So it's just like a really, you know, it's great to just have that kind of fun and that great environment.
Well, and it's funny, I have, my friend again, Kenny, that's why they do that. We always buy the same thing. So it freaks people out. But so it is the same membership.
Oh, he does?
They
always
end up getting something the same.
You know, I love that. It's just like, you know, you gotta, one of the early pods that we did, and I still think about this is like, it's kind of cliche, but it's like, you do you, you gotta be yourself. You gotta do you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's really good. And on that note, Keith, is there anything else you want to add before we, sign off?
No, you know what? This has been great. I've never done a podcast before. So I'm driving here this morning. I was thinking, I have no idea what I will be talking about or if I need to think about it or not think about it. So it's been easy. It's been great. No, and just, no, we're really excited to be part of Oakland. So that's all I can add right now. It's great, and this was fun.
I'm gonna do the call to action for Craig for Keith here. So if you're an agent out there and you know an agent, or you're an agent yourself that wants to that wants to have a look at Keith's office, what's the address?
The address is Unit 6, 228 Schoolhouse Street in Coquitlam.
Right.
So it's, anyone that's familiar with Coquitlam, well, actually, we're a couple doors down from the Real Estate Board's training center in Coquitlam.
Right.
So, and there's a Silver City there, big bowling alley. So. Yeah.
Keith will fall into the floor and have the coffee. There's also a cactus stuff close by. So, yeah, if you guys are interested,
Coffee. We're always there. Craig and I are always there, so just come and say hi.
Yeah, for sure. So what's the best way that a realtor or an agent that wants to send you guys a referral to get in touch with you guys?
You know what? Probably just call me.
Yeah, what's your number?
My number is 604-551-4949.
That's easy.
Other than that, of course, email just kstrang@oakland.com.
If you know an agent that would be a good fit for the Coquitlam office and you think someone in the Tri-Cities would be a good fit, please reach out to Craig or myself, and Keith or Craig or myself, and we'll be happy to help you guys out. So on that note, thank you, Keith, for being part of the pod.
Thank you.
Until next time, guys, thanks so much for listening.